Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to another episode of the Made Musings podcast. Today, I have a guest who is just somebody that I find intriguing, and I met him on a social media platform, and it's just been like a crazy journey for him. So I thought it is just not going to be, it's an opportunity not to miss, to not share his story. So I want to share the story of Scott Whitney. He is the director for All for Inclusion. I'll leave him to tell us a bit about who he is and what he does and everything.
Thank you for inviting me on. So I guess the start of the journey, that's the right word, probably was sort of June 2020-ish.
Let's just talk about yourself before that, actually.
Yeah.
Who were you? What were you doing? And what was life like for you?
Okay, so grew up in Cornwall, moved to Manchester 2017, early part of 2017. Always worked within insurance, always been fairly sporty, enjoyed being outside, watching TV, film, going to the rugby, got three daughters, so spending time doing things with them. So, yeah, just, I guess, a typical work.
Okay, that's brilliant. Just a normal child, living a normal life, and then life happened.
Exactly, yeah. So, it was COVID times in 2020, I was working from home. I was using my eldest daughter's gaming chair to do a lot of work. And that was really comfy. It was really good. But a couple of weeks before they were due to go back to school, she wanted her chair back and used a breakfast bar stool and started to get pain in the back. It's because I'm sitting on the bar stool. It's got to be, you know, it's all it is a bit of back pain. Turned out not to be back pain. So I had a few delays in getting to the GP. And when I did, I got rushed straight to A&E. In between, and with these delays in between, I started to lose control of my bladder. Had no feeling or sense of what was happening and what was going on. They did MRIs straight away, trying to see if I had something called Cauda equina. It wasn't that. Investigation started to roll on. And as they rolled on, so did my health deteriorate quite rapidly, really.
I'm so sorry about all that. You know, prior to COVID, when you ring GPs, they give you like maybe an appointment to even tell you, to give you an appointment is always going to be like maybe 1 month ahead. All this actually compiled and even went bad. It went really bad during COVID. Nobody was going out. We were all locked in. And it was really horrible. So I suppose maybe the delay in actually seeing you by the GP caused more harm to you.
Well, the delays, I guess, weren't necessarily the GP's fault. So first of all, it's, you know, if you wake up and you've got back pain, you don't just make an appointment with a GP. So you had the back pain for 2 or 3 weeks before I picked up the phone.
Oh my God, 2 or 3 weeks. That's crazy.
So because I just thought it must have been just by sitting awkwardly, or there was a reason what I was sitting on that with lack of support from her back, there was, it seemed like it was a sensible reason as not to, as to have the back pain. So I didn't go. And then on the morning of my appointment, one of my daughters tested positive to COVID. So the appointment then got cancelled and delayed that way. So there were delays, but they weren't necessarily the doctor's fault.
Oh, thank you for clarifying that. Now, what happened after all this diagnosis? What has the impact been on you? And how have you adapted? What is going on with you right now?
Yeah, so I guess kind of like from that initial appointment for the next 6 months, I had lots of things happen. So this would take me to like the start of 2021. So I had sepsis. So I was in hospital with sepsis for a little while. I had a catheter fitted. I had lost the feeling between my left hip and my left knee. And that's still not come back. I have seizures, jerks, spasms, loss of strength in parts of my body. I also temporarily lost the ability to swallow any solid food or anything. And then finally, like, I started to develop some like heart problems, which kind of takes me in and around to where I am now. I got diagnosed with something called functional neurological disorder, which basically means that my brain and how it's made up is fine. And so is my body, but everything just gets lost in translation. So I'm a full-time wheelchair user. I can have cognitive delays, brain fog, confusion. You know, so there's different parts of my day-to-day thinking that can go. And then there's the physical aspects as well. And then both of those are compounded by mental health.
You have such a long list of diagnoses and ailments and illnesses and all sorts going on with you. How have you been coping? Who do you talk to about your mental health?
Who do I talk to about my mental health? No one, really, which is definitely not the way to go. When you said about delays for GPs, I've had lots of delays when it comes to my mental health and getting that corrected and people to speak with and things. So I guess when I'm busy, when I'm doing things and when I'm helping other people, that has a knock-on effect that helps my mental well-being and my mental health. So that's a real sort of positive. But I don't talk really to anyone directly about my mental health, because there are a couple of friends that I speak with, but I still tone it down a little bit, but don't really necessarily enjoy talking about it. It's helping others that I know can help me.
Oh, dear. Thank you so much for helping others. And I feel that at this stage, you do know that men find it difficult to talk about emotional issues, including mental health. And there are charities that are specifically available for you to speak to about mental health issues. One of such charities is Mind. They actually help organize other people who are going through difficulties in any way. And there's CALM, Campaign Against Living Miserably. Yes, I will get the information about them to you, and you can always speak to them. I've always included their details in my podcast, but today I don't have the information right here with me. It is something that is important for you to do. But you did say that you find clarity and freedom in being able to help others. Yes, it is good to help others, but you've got to help yourself first to be able to help others. I see you have all for inclusion, and it's all about helping people who are disabled, stopping them from being lonely. Can you tell me more about the activities you do to help others in that regard?
We're online predominantly. The idea is people who aren't able to get out can be lonely. They can be socially isolated. We do some groups each week. So we do a book club We do a photography club. We do an art club. We do online bingo. We do quiz nights and lots of different things. And we're always looking at ways to put something else on. So you've mentioned about obviously men and mental health. We've been thinking, right, how can we do a space for men to be able to talk and a space for women to be able to talk as well? But it all needs to be done in the right way. So we're not experts on mental health. So we need to have all the right safeguarding in place to be able to do that. And that's safeguarding for anyone that wants to come in, and also safeguarding for anyone that's volunteering to facilitate the sessions as well. So this year's a year where doing a lot in the background. We're stabilizing a few of our processes and things just to make sure that next year we can look to start putting on another couple of groups, and whatever they are, hopefully be something that people can really get engaged with and stuck into. And we'll do some research in that, having discussions with people in the community and making sure we're getting it right time-wise. I know there's a big thing which we want to support with, which is supporting like self-employed people, disabled people who are self-employed, and actually getting that link then to actually get more disabled people employed with businesses as well. Yeah. So there's a lot of challenges out there. Just got to tackle one at a time.
Yeah, so yeah, you just have to take things one day at a time. Sometimes I'm like, I can't even do anything. I just like, it's all power down, shut down, just take things as it comes. But you talked about employers and disabilities. I find it really difficult now that I used to be in recruitment, and I used to ask the questions about, do you consider yourself to have a disability? But right now, the way the world is, typically over 60% of the world is disabled. So where is the workforce going to go from? Where is the workforce industries going to come from in the future? Because right now, things are just not looking right for big companies who don't include disabled people in their recruitment.
That's really wide-ranging. There's some people who are unable to work. There's some people that are able to work with assistance and adjustments in place. And there's some people that can just work with no adjustments and no assistance. But actually, I guess the danger of that last group is that just because they don't need an adjustment or an assistance now, they might do in the future. So employers just need to be flexible. It's all about just, I guess from an employer's perspective, it's about getting the best out of the talent that you've got in front of you. And that's kind of how they will think. It works both ways. So to be able to get your best out of the talent, you've got to be able to look after them. And you've got to be able to support and assist people. And that's whether people are disabled or not. It's all about treating people individually. If they need flexibility or they need another piece of equipment, then if that's going to get the best out of them, well, that's something an employer should be doing because they want to do the best for their business. This is actually where a lot of employers fall down, because they try to, you know, have it so it's like one cap fits all. That's not the right approach. So you could have two non-disabled people and they both might need different things. But then when you add in sort of disabled people, people who need different equipment, well, if you don't supply that equipment, then not only are they going to not be able to perform to the best of their ability, they're going to become disillusioned, they're going to feel unsupported. And then this is then where it can then involve them leaving the business. They leave the business and they'll either go and work for one of your competitors who will support them. They'll stay with them for a long time and do a really good job for them. Or they'll become self-employed. That's where employers are missing a trick, really.
For me, what I find really interesting is that the employers are not actually tapping into the access to talents from the disability and the neurodivergent in the world. So that's one thing that we need to improve on. And that's one thing that the whole world actually needs to make adjustment for. Like you said, there are some people that can walk without adjustments. There are some people who can walk with adjustments. Why lose those skills? I mean, if you see their skills and not the disabilities, then you will be able to work with them. So what biggest challenge that you've had to face as someone with a wheelchair user, and how has the changes in your circumstances, how have they impacted on you financially, emotionally, and mentally as well?
I think
Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is here. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home, plus fast shipping on everything right to your door. Shop now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
It's all when people look at you as a wheelchair user instead of look at me as me. You know, some people will see a wheelchair user and then immediately think that because they're in a wheelchair, they're not very intelligent. So they're not expecting me to be able to hold a conversation with them, or they start speaking to the person with me, not to me. And that's frustrating and tough for me. But it's actually just making things a lot harder because the person with me can't speak for me. They don't know what I want. So it ends up being like a three-way conversation instead of what could be two questions and very direct. Yeah.
Oh, so I'm so sorry about that. Yes, it's insane having to have a three-way conversation when you are there, when you're being referred to in the second person tense, like, oh, he's having this, he's having that. And, you know, you are there, you have a voice, so your voice should matter as well. That's another thing that we need to raise awareness about. And life is tough on its own. People don't need to put that burden upon you as well. Going forward, what is your plan for the future?
We'll be looking to grow All for Inclusion. Got a 5-year plan for that. We got the All for Inclusion Awards as well. So they're in October each year. So it's the second year of the awards this year. So that's going to be really good. We've got 4 more awards this year. And then next year, it's going to be face-to-face in the National Football Museum in Manchester. There's a lot to be excited about with All for Inclusion there. Then I've got another startup which I'm working on at the moment, which is called Sign My Vid, which is all around...
What did you say it's called?
Sign My Vid. So it's all around getting interpretation onto corporate videos and educational videos and stuff, so sign language interpretation on there. So that's really, really early stages at the moment. We've got our first couple of contracts coming in. We're in a soft launch period. And then kind of personally, I want to ideally be out sort of speaking to more people. I feel like for a couple of reasons, I've been stuck in Manchester and not necessarily traveled to many other places, and I think that's something that I want to be doing. Go to other cities in the UK, go down to London, go into Birmingham, go up to Leeds, and you know,
why do you think you've been stuck in Manchester? Well, why do you feel that way?
There's been a little bit because of work and personal circumstances that have kept me in and around Manchester and being unable to travel. And then I have an inbuilt fear at the moment of transport. So I'm starting to to get better at using trains with my wheelchair. But then there's obviously flights and things like that. And there's a lot to do in Manchester. Manchester's a, you know, it's a really nice city to live in, really nice city to work in. And I can do what I want in Manchester, but at the same time, not necessarily all the people that I want to be doing the things with are in Manchester. So it could be a case of going to more sort of exhibits and collaborate more in person with people instead of online collaborations.
Yeah.
So if I can be a little bit more mobile, that'll be really good for me. And then I can, it'll give me the opportunity to go in and speak to other businesses and their staff and support them as well. So that'll be really, really useful.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's good to be mobile. But, you know, as you said, not everybody that you want to do business with or do things with are right where you are. So you need to reach out to them. And in that process, it takes, you need to be dynamic. You need to be able to either, I don't know, do you drive normally?
No. So I stopped driving when I became a wheelchair user. Because I have seizures, yeah, I'm not allowed to drive. So I legally can't drive anyway now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. And there's also other means of transportation that you can use. Like you said, the train, they always have a wheelchair access. And they're always, I mean, good about getting people from wherever they need to be, apart from the issues of strikes these days, which you can't ever plan envisage for, you know. So those are the only downsides to using public transportation. But I've always used public transportation as a disabled person. I think they're quite good.
Yeah, the downside to trains as a wheelchair user is there's normally only two wheelchair spaces available. So one in first class, one in kind of standard class. Yeah. So you got to book in advance, which is okay. You know, you can book in advance, but then you've got to get the ramp to get on and off the train. And sometimes people don't help you on the train when they yeah. And then it's also then the case of a lot of people will use the wheelchair space to put their luggage. So there's no room there, or there could be someone else there. So these are some of the issues that trains present. Air travel, planes, that's a set of circumstances, another set of difficulties. But there's plenty of people that travel, you know, frequently on both. It's just, I haven't so far, but trains I've kind of almost ticked off and I'm ready to use that as a mode of transport now.
Thank you. Yes, yeah. It's just a shifting the orientation, like you used to drive, and with because of your circumstances and everything that's happened now, there's so many things that it's impacted on. One is your ability to even move around, which things that as basic as that, you won't know how much that impacts on your finances, because you are now like you have reduced in businesses and reduced contacts. And now like you said before, you don't even speak to people about things that actually impair your mental health. So I think those are things that we need to raise more awareness about. And like the transportation thing that you just talked about, having just two wheelchair spaces on a train, that's not good enough. People need that space to be able to feel free, to be able to commute from one location to another. So those are things that the world needs to hear about. This is why I thought, yes, you are perfect for this. And it's been really, really, really nice talking to you. And do you have any other thing that you think you would like to share with us today?
I guess, you know, people think of disabled people and the first thing that normally comes into their mind is someone in a wheelchair, but people with disabilities is a lot more than that. It's only a small amount of wheelchair users. Some people will have hidden disabilities, so you won't be able to see them anyway. So it's also thinking about that. And then last of all, it's really thinking that it can impact the family as well. So children, parents, siblings, etc. are also impacted as well. And I think people don't look after carers enough. So that's one thing we need to definitely improve upon.
Do you still live with your children? Do they still live with you and everything?
No. So I live on my own now. It's a choice that I wanted to make. Sensory-wise, noise is something that can really sort of flare up my conditions. Also, it was just the right thing to do, kind of when we looked at things as a whole. But I still speak to them, obviously, regularly, and they get involved in different things as and when they can as well.
Yeah, and do you still have your children coming around sometimes? Because, I mean, that physical contact with people is also something that is really important.
So they live in a different part of the country. So they do come up when they can. They live, the other side of the country, really. So it makes it hard. But when you're talking about sort of physical contact with people, where I live, there's a few people that I'll speak to going around. And then every now and again, I'll go into an office to work where there'll be people in there that sit and speak with. And kind of like you said, like from a mental well-being perspective, you know, there'll be times where I might go in there once every 2 weeks because I don't need to. But then after that, I could be in there 3 or 4 days on the trot because I need that. It works quite well.
Okay. And how have you found living on your own as opposed to being with other people? How has that come about? Because you did say it's a choice you had to make. But how have you adapted from your family life, having people around and all that? How have you adapted to that?
Yeah, so I have carers, and I had carers come in before. So they come in the morning and in the evening. Certain things I can't do myself, they do, but I'll spend a lot of time asleep because I suffer with fatigue. I quite like the quiet. So it's been, on one hand, that setting is really, really nice. But obviously, I miss my children loads. So, yeah, it's just a case of going, right, what's best all round? So, yes, that's what I decided on.
Oh, thank you so much. I really hope things get better for you. On a last note, what do you think about the housing rules regarding people with disabilities and all that?
So a lot of the laws kind of been stripped back. So a lot of the regulation that was in place to support disabled people and to make things accessible was removed. So that was pretty, pretty poor. But we've got a new government, so hopefully they will bring in some changes. And I think when it comes to sort of building regs and stuff, people need to have a really good kind of look at that and think, actually, we need to do this, this, and this. Not just for disabled people, because generally what benefits someone who's disabled will also benefit someone who's non-disabled. Let's just see how we can just make things easier for society as a whole.
Yeah, what I see is that most of the development companies, they are thinking of maximizing the little space they have, thinking of maximizing profit. So they build multi-story buildings. But people like wheelchair users, it would be easier for them to live in duplex type of accommodations would not be okay for you to be able to get to. You won't be able to get up the stairs. Those are the bungalows are the best type of accommodation that you can have. But those kind of accommodations are so rare in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, they are, especially in cities. I mean, I live in an apartment block. There's 3 lifts, so I can get up and down fairly easily. And I actually prefer to be in an apartment as opposed to a bungalow, because especially with my mental health, if I was to hear a noise and a window and things, it's hard for me to get out of the bed, get into my wheelchair, and then go and inspect it and then get back into bed again. But being in an apartment, no one can be. I'm three stories off the ground. Yeah. So that's cool. I know if there's a knock on the window, it's just the weather.
Yeah. Okay. That's amazing to know. I came back from holiday once and I met my window open. And this is a window I was sure that I loved if I were going on holiday, but it was a wind. I called the police and they said, well, is there anything missing? I said, well, I've looked around. There's nothing missing. But I found the window of, I mean, everything was wide open. And I was sure I did close these windows before going on holiday. So those are, it's really nice that you're able to move around in your wheelchair, but there's some apartments that the lifts are not even spacious enough to accommodate wheelchairs. So
no, you're right.
So those are really it's important to be able to highlight that as well. Thank you so much for your time today, and it's been awesome talking to you. Hope all your aspirations for the future regarding all for inclusion come to pass, and if you need anything, I'm here if I ever need anyone to talk to. But do not keep anything to yourself. Try and speak to people when you do need to, because it is quite important. It is highly recommended. Okay.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, and all the best, and stay in touch. Okay.
Will do. Thank you.
All right.
A big thank you to all our listeners who have been sending us messages through the message link. I would like to thank everyone who has listened in so far and contributed to this podcast. Thank you so much. We couldn't have done anything without you. Keep listening. Keep sharing, keep downloading, and keep liking. Thank you again.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3 quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details. Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.